I hope you have a copy of God's Word, and I invite you to turn to Exodus chapter 20 as we near the end of our study of the Ten Commandments. And I hope you have gained some insight. I have. It's been very interesting. And I will say that some of them have been a joy to preach on, and some of them not so much. But today we look at the ninth commandment out of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16. So I invite you to stand. Beginning with verse 12, you follow along. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. May God bless our reading of His Word. You may be seated. God considers lying serious business. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 says, there are six things the Lord hates, seven which are an abomination to Him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and a man who sows discord among brothers. Again, Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 12:19, truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue but for a moment. Proverbs 20:17, bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be full of gravel. Revelation 21, verse 8. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. God takes lying seriously. And lying is far more widespread than we want to consider. Everywhere we look, we see lies. Everything we hear is filled with lies. We call it media bias. It's simply lying. Commercials, advertising beyond what can be delivered is false advertising. Politicians make promises they have no means to keep. We may call it just politics. It's just lying. And then there is that lying that happens in the neighborhood, sometimes over a back fence, where neighbors discuss neighbors, but they don't know the facts. It doesn't stop them from talking. All of this is lying. And here's the simple prohibition. In verse 16, it's very simple. You shall not bear false witness. Now, of course, that's is a reference to a court of law. In legal terms, lying under oath in a court of law is perjury. Lying under oath in a Senate gathering or a gathering of the House of Representatives is perjury. But now we just call it politics. Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 44, "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." I don't know what it was like. No one does. But just bear with me for a moment. In the garden, Satan slithers in. And the very first words out of his mouth are deceitful. "Has God said?" A way to challenge the truthfulness of God. And from that day, his exertion of influence has impacted all human history. I've already mentioned perjury. But this father of lies has produced other children as well. Count number one, perjury. In the 23rd chapter of this same book of Exodus, we read regarding this commandment. Exodus 23:1, "You shall not spread a false report. You shall not join hands with the wicked man to be a malicious witness. You shall not fall in with the many to do evil, nor shall you bear witness in a lawsuit siding with the many, so as to pervert justice. Nor shall you be partial to a poor man in his lawsuit." In that explanation and expansion of the meaning of this commandment, God makes it clear that truth matters. Not only direct truth, but indirect truth. And the same is true for falsehoods. God takes it seriously. We may call it a shade of gray. God calls it an abomination. While the commandment sounds like it is merely setting the tone for the courtroom, it goes far beyond that. A witness was very important in Old Testament times. So important that there were no lawyers, no fingerprints to pass around, no evidence, no detectives. Everything depended on eyewitness accounts. I told the story last week about Naboth. He was killed because two witnesses had accused him of blasphemy. Of course, they made it up. But Naboth was killed nevertheless. Remember, it was a false witness or false witnesses that spoke at the trial of Jesus that brought about his death. Solomon says in Proverbs 25:18, a man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a war club or a sword or a sharp arrow. And the Old Testament sets up penalties against lying witnesses, perjurers. For example, the witness of one testimony was never enough to bring about capital punishment, the death penalty, on a criminal. In fact, if you were one of the two witnesses who accused a criminal of capital punishment, you also were the first two to throw the stones. If a witness was found to be lying, they were to receive the same punishment as if they had been guilty of the crime charged. So one of the children of the devil is perjury. I just want to say this, get it off my chest. Well, it won't come off, but I'm just going to share my chest with you a little bit on this subject. Can you imagine how few elected officials there would be if we kept this law? I don't know if we have any elected officials in the room this morning, but I'm just saying, what a great responsibility. Tell the truth. Don't lie. But perjury is not the only child of the devil. So is rumor, hyphen slander. A rumor is a story that's not true. And these stories are never benign. They are always malignant. They spread from one person to another person. Someone has said that a rumor can spread halfway around the world before the truth can put its shoes on. Folks, we need to remove rumors from our conversations. Now I'm being practical here. If you don't know it as truth, if you don't know what you're talking about, parents, cover the ears of your children. If you don't know that what you're saying is true, shut up. Don't say it. Because the moment you say it, even if you heard it, but you don't know it's true, your tongue becomes a child of the devil. And I just want to say this along the way. Your ear became a child of the devil when you put up with listening to a rumor. But I'm not the one who starts the rumors. Other people get You're the one who can stop them. Ask yourself these things. Ask yourself these things about rumor or gossip. Number one, is what I'm about to say true? Not do I think it's true. Is it true? Not did someone tell me it's true. Is it true? Number two, if it is true, does it need to be said to the person with whom you're having a conversation? And number three, would you say what you're about to say if the person about whom you are saying it was present? We shouldn't let rumors pass into our ears or from our lips. But there's another child of the devil. It also is a false witness, a false report. It's known as flattery. It's forbidden. It's forbidden. Do you know people who are just gushing with goodness? Now, I'm not talking here about encouragement. I'm not talking here about lifting someone up with the truth. I'm talking about someone saying something that simply isn't true, or it's not what they think. We call it flattery, but God calls it lying. Proverbs 26:28 says, a lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Psalm 55:21, his speech was smooth as butter, yet war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. You know what flattery is, folks? It's lying for manipulation. It's lying for manipulation. And some people get lied to so much that they fold to the manipulation. They believe it. Listen, just because your parents told you you can sing doesn't mean you're going to win American Idol. Somebody's been lying to you. Another child of the devil, insinuation. Now, insinuation is not always something that's said. Insinuation means to imply something. That is, say it without saying it directly or without saying it at all. It can be as simple as a raised eyebrow or shrugged shoulder. It's a lie. It's deception. It's a suggestion that is symbolized by some tweak of the body, a pursing of the lips, anything meant to imply other than the truth. Another child of the devil, since he's the father of lies and he has offspring, many of them I would add, more than I'm listing today, but it is silence. When we don't say anything, but we know the truth. We tell a part of the truth, and we don't tell the other part of the truth. That's called a half-truth. And a half-truth, ladies and gentlemen, is a complete lie. How in the world can silence be sinful? Well, I'll give you one example. How many of you know that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? I want you to raise your hands. How many know that? Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Nobody's getting there apart from Jesus Christ. Go ahead, raise them. You can raise both of them if you really believe it. Okay. Why didn't you tell somebody already today? We're losing this world minute by minute to the devil, to lostness, to hell. And people are telling half-truths. They go to church, but they never talk about Jesus. You know, one of the disciples just straight out lied. Peter. He straight up lied. But the rest of the disciples ran. Without saying a word, they lied. They lied about being followers of Jesus by not saying, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus. Peter just said it out loud that he wasn't, hiding the truth. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Where were the disciples when Jesus died? They were sinfully silent. You can be sinfully silent. There's a sin known as the Bedouin sin, also called the desert sin. To know where water is and not tell someone else is a Bedouin sin. We have living water. And we don't share what we know. We may be the majority of Christians, but we're still sinning by not telling the truth. What's the motivation? What's the motivation for this sin? It's very simple, ladies and gentlemen. It's one thing. One thing is the motivation for all sins in the lying category. I want you to take a look at Matthew chapter 21. Quickly, head over to Matthew chapter 21. Find verse 23. And when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? Jesus answered them, I also will tell you, ask you one question. And if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. Here was the question. The baptism of John, speaking of John the Baptist. From where did it come? From heaven or from man? And they discussed it among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from man, we're afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we do not know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. A conundrum. This is what the chief priests were faced with, a conundrum. If they say what they know is true, they fear that the people will see them as the hypocrites they are. On the other hand, if they tell the lie, he's from man. It is a lie, but that's what they believed. That's what they were saying. They feared the people would stone them to death. So the motivation for lying, it doesn't matter how big, how small. Motivation is the same, fear. And in this case, it's the fear that others won't think of us the way we wish they would or the way we want them to. The fear of what others will think. And the fear of personal harm. What's the solution? Is there a correction for this pervasive problem that exists among sinful people, and that includes us? Yes, there is a solution. There is a correction. And the correction is simple: truth. Truth is the correction. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, I hope to come to you soon, but I am writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of truth. You want to know why the church is so anemic, weak, and declining? Around the world, it's because we are not that anymore. We don't tell the truth. We're afraid. We're afraid of what the world will say about us, of what the world will think of us. Oh, those narrow-minded people down there at the church, they think people who don't believe like them are going to hell. They think we're going to, oh, well, we can't preach it that way then. No, I tell you what, we want people to come to church. We want people to come in here. So let's just not talk about hell anymore. Let's not talk about those things that rub people the wrong way. Somebody was coming out of a service Billy Sunday had preached. And by the way, he was straightforward. And one lady was overheard by Billy Sunday saying, he rubbed me the wrong way. And Sunday ran up to her and said, then you need to turn around. Folks, that's what the world needs. The world needs to turn around. But what's happening is the church is turning around. We're turning around. We don't want to rub them the wrong way because they may not come to church. And if we continue to measure the success of the church by how many people come through the doors, we will more rapidly lose this world. What difference does it make if they attend your church and pour money into the offering plate because they attend your church if they're going to hell? What difference does it make? Folks, we just flatter the lost when we don't tell them they're lost, when we don't point out the error of their ways. I'm not trying to be the meanest preacher on the planet, but that's how I feel when I talk about sin, because it is so uniformly rejected in today's pulpit. Let me talk to parents for just a minute. Maybe grandparents too. I know there are a couple in the room. Raise your child to know and appreciate the truth. And don't you dare tell your children they won't get in trouble if they tell the truth. That's a lie. Why don't you tell them the truth? Jesus said, if you follow me, they will persecute you. Jesus told the truth in all of his teaching, but specifically in that teaching. I like unity. I like unity as much as anybody else. I like it when my family all gets along. I love it when the church is getting along. But I got news for you. There's a line where unity has to take a back seat. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. And here's the dividing line, the truth. And it is better to be divided by the truth than it is to be united around an error. Tell your children that. Tell your children that it is better to hurt with the truth than to comfort with a lie. Comforting with a lie helps no one. What if your doctor cared more about your feelings than he did about your health? Knowing that there is evidence of malignancy in your body, but knowing I just don't want to hurt their feelings. I don't want to ruin their life. I don't want them to be depressed. I don't want them to go through the days of suffering and grief like so many have gone through before. I'm just not going to tell them the truth. You don't want a doctor that does that, folks. And if you do, well, just don't go to the doctor. What's the point? I'll put it this way. Rough truth is better than polished lies. Tell your children it's better to be hated for being honest than it is to be loved for telling a lie. It's something our politicians need across the board. They need to learn something. Telling the truth just may not get you elected, but it will make you electable. In fact, telling the truth can get you crucified. And the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ did more good for this world than all the political falsehoods in human history. Finally, it's something you can tell your children that will help them grow with character. It is better to be alone with the truth than in the multitude with a lie. I don't care what everybody or most people believe. What I care about is what is true. What's true? This latest social revolution, this upheaval, this change that has occurred in the world culture, known as postmodernism, all it has been, all it is the demolition of truth, ladies and gentlemen. If we can just get truth out of the way, sin can have its way. And so now, we can look back toward the 60s in American history, where public education began to impact our culture by the suggestion that some truth is relative. It depended on the social context. I've used this illustration a million times, so don't be offended when I use it again. When someone says to you, men, does this dress make me look fat? There is one answer to that question. Just one. The truth. Now you put the emphasis wherever you'd like to put it. But the answer is, that dress does not make you look fat. Put the emphasis on dress. Folks, the truth hurts sometimes. The truth is truth. And God hates lies. God hates falsehood. We have so adopted that manipulation of the 60s into American culture that we now will almost criminalize someone who actually tells the truth. Like, boys can't be girls and girls can't be boys. That's the truth. I don't care what body parts you cut off or sew on, you can't change who you are. You were born one way, and that's the way you are. And the longer people who are committed to the truth put up with that malarkey, the more our truth is going to be squelched. Well, that'll be Facebook blocked. Parents, you don't just need to teach this to your children, you need to show this to your children. The reason we have produced such a great culture of lying is because we've had great teachers. You and me, or you and I, are great teachers. They see it, they hear it, they understand it. Sometimes lying is acceptable. Well, don't be surprised when they lie to you. Let's pray.